The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Luke chapter number 2. And follow along as I read verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the host of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to open your precious word and to see these truths and to make application to our lives. And we would pray that you would just help us for these next several minutes to, again, block out the cares of the day, the week ahead, the week behind, and just allow you to speak to our hearts, to draw us to you. Maybe there's one here today, Lord, that's never received Christ as their Savior. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd convict them of their sin, convince them of their need of Christ. And this would be the day that they would realize they are a wretched sinner in need of a wonderful Savior, and that He is available to all men. Now help me as I preach the message. Again, might your power be upon it and your purpose accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to just take the next couple of weeks and just preach a couple of messages really entitled or thinking about the theme of unwrapping God's gift. This portion of Scripture that we read this morning, I'm sure to most of us, maybe all of us, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. But I want to kind of think about the Lord and the gift that God has given to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great wonders of the Christmas season is, especially if you have children, if you have grandchildren, is watching them as they unwrap the gift and seeing their eyes as they unwrap the gift. I was actually thinking about this earlier. Maybe this is actually an illustration for a different message, but especially with young children, sometimes the gift that is of the most value or is most useful to a young child is often the gift they open it, and they're not quite as excited about that gift as they are about the gift that might just be a toy. You know what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes a gift is given, it might be a nice piece of clothing or a pair of mittens or a nice hat for them to wear. And especially a little child opens up that gift, puts it aside, and they move right on to the next thing. You know, and it might, if it's a little boy, it might be a race car, or if it's a little girl, it might be a doll, and they like those things, but in the grand scheme of things, probably in a year or two, those gifts are forgotten, put aside, but the gloves were more useful. We want to look at the gift of Christ and what he means to us and the blessings of the Savior. In my introduction, I wrote this. I didn't write this. Someone else wrote this. It's a quote that I read. They said this: the design of God in the incarnation was to manifest the hidden glories of his nature. You realize that before Christ was born into this world, really, the Old Testament, we're going to actually go to the Old Testament, it spoke of the characteristics and the qualities of God. But not until the person of Jesus Christ came into this world, not until he lived those 33 years upon this earth, could it really be seen in the eyes of man that they could truly have an understanding and a knowledge of who and the characteristics of God. But the incarnation meant to minister to manifest the glories of God's nature. And then, of course, to reconcile you and I to God. He came to Jesus to reconcile us to him. When you think of the fact that all down through history, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, that mankind has been in a state of hostility, not only with one another, but mankind has been in a state of hostility with God himself. And God knew that. And God knew that man had rejected him, and that man was at enmity with him. And yet God still reached out, and he sent his son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross for your sins and my sins. You and I, who have nothing to offer God, absolutely nothing, and God still said, I love them enough to make a way and to reconcile them. The Bible says in the book of Romans in many places, but I like Romans 8:7, it says this: the carnal mind is enmity against God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We're not in tune with God. We're out of tune with God. But God sent his Son to get us back in tune with him. And as I was reading through the every December for the last, I don't know how many years, but whatever I'm reading for devotions, in addition to that, I just read through the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ. And so I was reading through this gospel account, and as we were reminded here of Joseph and Mary, and they're traveling to Bethlehem, and there are the shepherds out in the fields, abiding in verse 8, and there the angel of the Lord appears unto them, and then a great host of the angels appear unto them. And then, as I was reading through this, verse 10, the Bible says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I read through that, and they tell the shepherds they'll find the babe in swaddling clothes in the manger. But verse 14, it really kind of stuck out for some reason. Well, I'm going to tell you why it stuck out more perhaps this year than other years. But look at verse 14 in the text. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. The word glory, it means that to bring praise and to show him his worth and to show him his honor and show him his reverence. To glorify God. And you and I are to be reminded of that. I've often said that all of life and everything that we do is about bringing glory to God. We mentioned this family that was burned out, and if you can help them, I know that they'll be appreciative. But you and I as believers, when we have a part in something like that, do you know what that does? It brings glory to God. Because God has commanded us, God has taught us to be involved in things like that. But there are the angels. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. You know, all down through time, because of man's hostility, he does not want to bring glory to God. He wants to deprive God of His glory. Even when you think about the Christmas season, there are certain aspects of the Christmas season that try to rob God of His glory and that we need to be careful of. And so it's wonderful. I love the Christmas season. I embrace the Christmas season. It's a great time to talk about Christ. It's a great time to talk about the gift of Jesus to the world. I enjoy, though, the decorations. I enjoy the exchanging of gifts. I enjoy that part of the season. But really, it's all about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Everything is about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And the angels, glory to God in the highest. I was reminded of what Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, by whom the world is crucified unto me, he said, and I unto the world. The Apostle Paul, all he wanted to do in life is bring glory to God. So as I thought about that, I thought about some verses I read about a week ago in the book of Jeremiah. And I want you to turn there now. We're going to spend the bulk of our time there in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. So as you're turning there, just in your mind, think about those angels as they were out there in the presenting themselves to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. And there's Christ born into this world, a manifestation. God became a man. The Word, the Bible says, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the Bible says, as the only begotten from the Father. Christ, the manifestation of the glory of God. Well, I was reading in Jeremiah, I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is written somewhere between, I think, 500 and 600 years before the birth of Christ. And things in Jeremiah's day were not really all that different than they are today. What I mean by that is this, the temple was in existence then, but the Jewish people, by and large, they didn't stop believing in God, but they were not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. They had become a religious people. They were mixing some of their religion with paganism. But really, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, God uses the prophet Jeremiah, and He's trying to get their attention. And He's trying to get them to focus on what it truly means to worship the one and the true living God. Like they were more worshiping the temple and all the rituals of the temple than they were the one true living God. They were depending more in their circumcision than in their faith in the one true living God. Much the same as today. People trust in their baptism and their church membership as opposed to putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So things really aren't all that different. And Jeremiah says this, chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so Jeremiah says this to the Israelites. For apparently there were men who were wise, but they were glorying in their wisdom, just like today. There are people who think they're so wise that they don't really need God in their lives. They don't need the things of God in their lives. Or he says, listen, the mighty man, don't glory in your might and your power. Don't glory in that. Or the rich man, don't glory in your riches. Don't glory in your wealth. Don't find all your value in that. And Jeremiah was trying to get the Israelites to understand this, that you see, God is the fountainhead of all of these things. It is God who is the fountainhead of might, and God who is the fountainhead of riches, and God who is the fountainhead of all wisdom. It doesn't come and isn't derived from man himself. And he was preaching against them not to boast in these things and not to celebrate or to commend themselves for all of their accomplishments unless they understood that these characteristics, they are derived from God. James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All that we have in life, we're to be reminded, it comes from God. Listen, our health comes from God. What we own comes from God. Who we are, it all comes from God. And we're to be reminded of that. But in the Old Testament, the prophets would prophesy of the Lord, and they would speak of God's glory, and they would speak of God's characteristics. But when Jesus came to this earth, man could see it in the flesh, could experience it for themselves. And while you and I are 2,000 years removed from when Jesus walked on this earth, we too can experience it by faith and see it by faith and understand it by faith and by the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within each of us. And so when Jeremiah writes here, he says this, and he gives us these characteristics that were embodied in Christ himself. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And that little phrase there, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that he not only understands me theoretically or intellectually, as we read the scriptures, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So we read the Scriptures, we learn about Jesus, we see Jesus there in the written Word, we understand that the Word became flesh, and so we come to an understanding theoretically or intellectually about who Christ is. But then the phrase there, not only that he understandeth me, but then that he knoweth me. And that's the practical aspect of it. That we walk with Him, we talk with Him, that we experience Him in our lives. And that's the great thing about knowing Christ as your Savior. That we can experience Him each and every day. And when Christ came to this world, He manifested these characteristics in His own life. And so you see this characteristic here, number one, the gift of His loving kindness. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. That word loving kindness, it speaks of the mercy of God. I am so glad, and I hope you are too, that God is a merciful God. Amen? He is merciful. Remember that Christ came into a hostile world. He came into a world that really did not appreciate Him and still does not appreciate Him. He came into a world that rejected Him. But He is a merciful God. That is the gift of Christ. His loving kindness. Peace, the angel said. Goodwill toward men. But men themselves weren't at peace with themselves. And men themselves didn't have goodwill toward one another. But the God of creation comes and says, peace, goodwill toward you. Wow. Look, keep your finger here. I'll come back in a minute. Go to Jeremiah. Look, you get an idea of the character of God in later on in Jeremiah chapter 31. Look at verses 1 through 3. Jeremiah chapter 31. Now remember, Jeremiah is writing to a people that really are not worshiping God in the Spirit and in truth. And they've really rejected God in many ways. In fact, they're going to go into captivity because of their disobedience to God. And yet God's still reaching out to them. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people? Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. One of the things that we're being reminded of is the gift of God's loving kindness. You know, the Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. But do and does and has man loved God with all of his heart? Has man loved God with all of his soul? And has man loved God with all of his might? Well, what is the answer? The answer to that is what? Tell me. No. And yet God still loves us with a loving kindness. He still reaches out to us. And when Christ came to this earth, God became a man to display that love. Mankind wanders around looking for meaning in life and looking for direction in life. Some look for it in a bottle. Some look for it in drugs. Some look for it in all kinds of bad behavior. Some look for it in all different types of religion. And there are plenty of false gods that you can look to. And some of us, if we recall the lives that we lived before we came to know Christ, many of us that came to know Christ as adults, we traveled down this road and found no peace. We traveled down this road and found no peace. We tried this path and found no peace. We went this way and found no peace. And then someone brought the love of Christ to us. The fact that God had sent His Son Jesus into the world. That's why it was very encouraging to me to see so many hands that went up to hand out invitations to Christmas Eve. What are we doing? We're trying to invite people to come and hear about the love of Christ. These are people who are traveling down this road and traveling down this road and traveling down this road. And they're traveling down all these roads because there's a hole in their heart. There's something that they're trying to fill and they can't figure out what it is. And it's Christ. Oh, I love what the book of Ephesians, when Paul wrote about Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, and that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, we really only understand the love of God. And then he said this in that same verse 24. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment. And then I thought, well, it's easy to preach about the gift of his loving kindness, but how about the gift of his judgment? Should we be thankful? Should we understand that his judgment is a gift to us? And the reality of that is yes. His judgment is a gift to you and I. You know, it's kind of ironic But you and I and the human race, we are defective. The entire human race is defective. In fact, I have an object lesson. I read this week. I thought it was a great illustration. I have two cups here. And so this cup, what's wrong with this cup? Got a hole in it, doesn't it? So let's say you have a Christmas party at your house that's about to take place, and you go out and you buy one of these packages with all these cups in it, and you open it up and every single cup's got a hole in it. Well, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Not a trick question. What would you do with it? You'd either return it, or what else would you do? You'd throw it out. You'd get rid of it, because this cup right here is absolutely useless. There's nothing you can do with this cup. And so you would take that cup and you would either discard it or you'd go bring it back. The problem in the illustration is this. If you tried to bring this cup back, every cup in the world would be defective just like this. There's a hole in it. Well, there's a hole in the human race because of sin. You and I are like that cup. Now, you and I have far more value than a styrofoam cup in the eyes of God. Oh, don't forget that. Because we are made in the image of God himself. So that gives us far more value, but we are still defective. God could have discarded us. He could have rejected us. He could have just gotten rid of us. But he didn't. So the point of this is this. Listen, when we think about the judgment of God, the Bible says this. Christ said, "For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Might be saved. The world has got a hole in it. But God sent his Son. But then his Son said this, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." Listen, the judgments of Christ are always true. They are always fair. They are always the right judgments. God has a right to judge us. God has some people say, well, why does God judge us? He has a right, he has the authority to judge us, because you see, in comparison to him who's perfect and whole, we're all defective. All of us are defective. So I've often heard people say that, and you've heard me say this, when people say, well, God, why does he really have a right to judge us? Absolutely. And when you have the idea, the thinking that God doesn't have a right to judge us, you just don't understand how sinful and how wretched you are. So God's judgments are true. You know, we're living in a time today where all over the news, whether right or wrong, I'm not going to be the judge of all that's going on, but we see all kinds of protests and unrest because people are saying, well, this judgment, they came with regards to various incidents that have happened the last several weeks in our nation. They made the wrong judgment. Some people say they made the right judgment. And that's all for debate. But I can tell you this, every judgment that Jesus Christ makes is right and is true. Every judgment. And so we can be thankful for that gift. But then the third characteristic here is this. I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Well, there, born in the stable 2,000 years ago, was the embodiment of righteousness. The Holy One. The Just One. The Sinless One. When it speaks of the righteousness of Christ, in fact, the Bible calls Jesus the King of Righteousness. It speaks of His perfection. It speaks of His character. The Scriptures, the angels proclaim, it is Christ, a Savior. He's come to save his people from their sin. Christ, the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And there is the embodiment
of God's righteousness in His Son, Jesus Christ. He came because He loves us and because He cares for us. Rightly so, you and I deserve to be judged. And in and of ourselves, in our judgment, the Bible clearly tells us that we, like this ruined cup, we deserve to be discarded, or we deserve to be returned. We're of no value, we're of no good. But because of God's love, and because of His judgment, and because of His righteousness, and because Christ came to do for you and I what you and I could never do for ourselves, when Christ died on the cross, He took this cup with a hole in it, and now you and I are in Christ Jesus, and now this cup is of infinite value. It'll hold anything that you put in it. That's why Jesus came. Of Christ, the Bible says, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We're all broken. We all have a hole in us. But God said this, if you'll put your faith and trust in My Son, Jesus Christ, I will take you with the hole in it, I will place you in My Son, and you'll have eternal life and your sins will be forgiven. That's what Christmas is all about. The birth of the Savior. The birth of the Savior. That unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Chapter 10, verse 10. And an everlasting King. At His wrath, verse 10, chapter 10. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth, from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by His power, and He hath established the world by His wisdom, and He hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. Everything else in life is vanity. But Jesus came that you and I might not face the wrath and the judgment of God Himself, that we can find our faith in Him and be placed in Him and become whole. It's the greatest gift the world has ever seen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen, I'm not talking about intellectually. I'm talking about knowing Him in a real way, in a personal way, where the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, has moved upon your heart. The Holy Spirit of God has caused you to realize that you are a sinner, unclean, under the condemnation of God, hell-bound. God, in His infinite mercy and His infinite love, is stretching out His hand to you this morning. His Son Jesus came to bear all of your sin, all of my sin, all of the sin of the world upon Himself when He went to the cross as the Savior of the world. And if you have never this morning placed your complete faith and trust in Him and Him alone for your salvation, or maybe you were like I was at the 24 years old, having heard it my entire life, but was not sure that I was saved. And a church service like this came forward at first to rededicate my life to Christ, and then said, Jesus, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. If I'm not, today, I accept the fact that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died and He paid for my sin. And today I put my complete faith and trust in what He did for me and nothing else. And if that's you this morning, whether in those words or in similar words with your head bowed, if you'll talk to the Lord and make that confession to Him, He'll accept you. Because He reaches out to you with an everlasting love. You see, sin has to be judged. And either you face the judgment or you allow Christ to face your judgment for you. And he could because he was righteous. You can't because you're unrighteous. But if you'll accept him by faith, he'll take that cup with a hole in it, and you'll be in Christ Jesus from now and forever and forever and forever. Father, bless the invitation. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed this morning, every head bowed and eye closed. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to pray about that. I want to talk with someone. Or I know this morning I've never received Christ as my Savior. I've never done that. God, you're speaking to my heart. Would you do this with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed? If that's you, would you just, and I'm not going to call you out your name or embarrass you, but slip up your hand by the upraised hand. You're saying, you know, I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I need to be sure. I want to be sure. I want to know. Thank you. I see that hand. I feel like I'm that cup with a hole in it, and I need to be placed in Christ Jesus. And then for you who have already been placed in Christ Jesus, well, just think about those wonderful acts, the great gift, the gift of his loving kindness. And he is a true judge, a righteous judge. His character is righteous. And he will rule and reign forever and forever and forever. And you and I will have the privilege of being part, and have the privilege of being part of that kingdom right now. And so many co-workers, family members, friends are searching in life, trying to fill that hole. Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for his love. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for your grace to us and your mercy. We ask, Lord, now as we sing this closing hymn, that for those of us that have accepted Christ, we would do it with a heart full of thankfulness and gratitude. That as we've unwrapped the gift this morning again, that we would see just Christ for who he is and what he has provided for us. And I do pray for those this morning that raised their hand, and perhaps some that may be here that have never raised their hand, have never come to know Christ as their Savior, have never entered into a relationship with him. I pray that you draw them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.